And welcome. This is Greg Jackson sitting in for Bob Enyart, and welcome to the only show, really, my favorite show, because you get the truth. You get Bible-based truth on this show. You don't get GOP talking points, Republicans good, Democrats bad. You don't get Obama bashing, although there's a little bit. I know Doug McBurney likes to have fun with our illegal commander-in-chief that is illegally occupying the White House. But for the most part, here on this show, you get the unadulterated truth on the most important issues of our times, issues that you're just not hearing about in the mainstream, quote-unquote, alternative conservative talk radio shows, such as, for example, issues of life and death, abortion, same-sex marriage and homosexuality, things that folks, I hate to say it, but these are the leading social issues of our day that we ignore at our own peril. And frankly, I believe that because we ignore them, especially Christians, this is the reason that this country is under judgment. I truly believe that in my heart and soul. And until we deal with those most important issues of life and death, I believe we will just be spinning our wheels talking about electing more Republicans to change our nation, or, you know, defeating the Democrats in November. I believe it's just a waste of time. You might as well be out golfing or doing whatever fun activity you like to do, because until we deal with the issues that are near and dear to the heart of God, it's just a waste of time. So today, without further ado, I want to get to some of those issues. I want to talk about what I believe the most important issue of our times is. And I believe that whether we like to talk about it or not, it's the issue of abortion. It's not a comfortable topic to talk about. A lot of people probably just want to tune it out and say, there's really nothing we can do until we overturn Roe versus Wade. It's a waste of time to talk about. And I say it's very worthwhile to talk about. And if we don't talk about it, shame on us. And we're just going to get more of the same things that we're getting in this country right now. We have allowed 3,000 babies a day to be murdered. Yes, that's what happens in the abortion mills all across this great blessed country of ours. And frankly, folks, I don't think we're blessed. We can lie to ourselves and say, well, God's blessing our nation. I don't believe he is. I mean, in many regards, he is. Yes, we have more freedom and liberty than most of the world. There's no doubt about it. But the fact of the matter is, that freedom and liberty that we've enjoyed for 300 years of America history is rapidly diminishing, and you know it. You know it is, folks. Government taking over major industries, mostly every industry in this country, hate speech laws. And I hate to say it, but I think that that really is a result of the fact that Christians, by and large, have forsaken their first love. The Bible says in Psalm 106, before I get to our guests who are waiting patiently for me to stop talking, it says in verse 38, they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. And folks, that is what I believe. That's what happened in ancient Israel. And that's what is happening here. It has been happening since 1973. Since Roe versus Wade became the quote unquote law of the land, which it isn't. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But the fact of the matter is, in 1973, we chose as a nation to say it's okay to kill babies legally. And I believe that we're reaping what we have sown. And with me to discuss that very important issue of abortion, which I believe is the most important issue of the day. Look, if our rights are inalienable, i.e. God-given, they come from God. Chief among them in the Declaration, our founding national charter, part of the organic law of the United States of America, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, if chief among them is life, what all of our other rights are meaningless, aren't they, folks? If our very lives at the very moment of conception isn't guaranteed and protected, I submit that everything else is a waste of time to talk about. Illegal immigration, taxes, not that those issues aren't important, they are. But chief among, if our right to life at the very moment of conception isn't secure, then the very underpinnings which undergird our constitutional republic are really just sand washed away with the nearest storm. It's a waste of time to even talk about it. So today, I am hoping that we can talk to our guests, and with us in the studio, we have two people that have been in the trenches fighting this battle, not just talking about abortion, but being doers of the word, as we are commanded to be, as Christians are commanded to be, doers of the word, fighting to save the lives of innocent babies who are daily murdered in the abortion mills. These are people who, these two ladies with me, who care deeply about this issue of life. And I have with me Joe Scott, who is the director of Pro-Life Colorado, who's been on this show probably many more times than I have, who is actually in charge of Pro-Life Colorado, which is the leading rescuers in this state. They're the ones who save, I believe, 100 babies per year going out to abortion mills. Joe, am I correct on that?
Yeah, you're correct.
So about 100 a day. A year. Well, hopefully we'll get to that point. And of course, we have Leslie Hanks, who many of you know, who is the VP of Colorado's America, Right to Life, Colorado, and also the co-sponsor of Personhood Colorado. And, ladies, I want to know from you, and I want to talk about abortion in general, but I want to know first of all from you, kind of briefly, why do you care so much? Why are you involved? Joe Scott, you go to the abortion mills, the Planned Parenthood abortion mills, every single day without fail.
Right.
I want to know, where's that drive come from? What gets you out of bed in the morning? Because I'll be honest with you, I went to the abortion clinic with you on Saturday, and I don't know if I have the heart to do it every day, Joe Scott, to just be honest with you. I was Saturday, after being out there for 3 hours with you all, I was a slight bit depressed. Happy in some regards, but I'll admit it. I was depressed. I was in anguish that seeing these young women pull up and knowing that they were about to kill their babies.
Well, the reason I'm there is because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm called to be there. But I couldn't be there every day. Like you said, it's depressing when you see one woman after another going in to kill her child, when you see women dragged in by family members and forcefully being made to kill her child, when you see pedophiles taking girls in, when you see elderly men of a different race taking a young 12-year-old girl in, and nobody's going to do anything, and that can be depressing. But you have to stay right with the Lord. You have to stay close to Jesus. And he gives you the strength, because if I had to do this on my own, Greg, I couldn't. I could not do it. It's almost impossible. In fact, I had an atheist guy come out and help me for a few weeks, and he finally said, I can't do it anymore. I'm too depressed, Joe. I can't. How do you do it? And I said, his name was Mike. I said, Mike, you can't, because you don't know my Jesus. If you would just get to know him, you could, because he had the passion, but he didn't have the strength. And I said, I don't have the strength. It comes from Jesus. You have to keep your relationship right with him and stay close and in prayer and be out there. And he gives me the love that I have for these ladies. I'm not just at the mill. I'm helping these girls afterwards pull their lives together. Every day there's a mom that needs something.
Yeah, so the primary, it sounds to me like you're concerned about these young women who are being lied to, and you use the word forced in many cases. When you say forced, you mean what percentage of these women, in your estimation, are taken there? But you know, Saturday when we were there, I saw nothing but guys dropping their girls off. Some of them would stay, others would leave, and then come back a couple hours later. I mean, how prevalent is kind of this?
Not my statistics, but the Elliott Institute gives statistics, and they say over 40% of the women are forced in one way or the other by familial pressure or just peer pressure. We'll send a girl into the abortion clinic to get an abortion. But I personally have seen girls dragged in, crying and screaming and fighting to get away from the her parents who were dragging her in. And we just kept telling her, "You all you have to do is say no. Nobody can touch you if you say no. If your parents don't want you, we do." And her name was Sophie, and she, this is the last one that did this. When she was in the mill for 15 minutes, and when she came out, there was a blood-curdling scream that you have never heard before until you hear these women when they finally break away and get enough power and strength inside themselves to pull themselves out of that place. And she ran through the parking lot. And by the time she hit the end of the parking lot, her father yelled, "Okay, you can have your baby." But Planned Parenthood didn't try to save her.
Praise God.
You know, they didn't care. They're supposed to be women's advocate. Yeah. They were going to abort that girl. She was only 15. Her boyfriend was there to tell us who she was and what was going on, and he was begging us to help.
Well, it's Planned Parenthood. They certainly, Planned Parenthood offers adoption services or referrals.
Sure they do.
Do they not?
Sure they do.
Do they?
They say they do, but the percentages are so low, they're off the charts.
And their security guards
they're
also.
They're
not on the charts.
I noticed that. So obviously they're pushing these girls to have an abortion. It's really not a choice in many regards, because obviously there's a, and I want to get to this with you, there's a lot of financial interests at stake as well.
Well, at this particular mill, they have a man show up every week and he picks up the baby parts. They cannibalize those babies, and they sell them to the highest bidder for experimentation. And that is, you know, that makes a $450 abortion go up to more like $4,500. If you're getting $1,000 for a spine and $350 for the brain, well, you get $1,000 for the brain and $350 for the spine, and they get so much an eye. This from this blob of tissue that isn't a baby, right, Leslie?
Right.
Oh.
Just a blob of tissue. And Leslie, let's bring you into the conversation too. Leslie Hanks, Vice President of Colorado Right to Life and co-sponsor of Personhood Colorado, which, by the way, Leslie, we're going to be talking about the Personhood Amendment more in depth tomorrow on the show, to see, you know, to talk about what people can do to get involved and why this is so important. And I truly believe that this is a watershed moment in American history. I believe it's going to pass. I believe it's going to start a tsunami, a tidal wave around the country. Bob Enyart working fast and furiously right now, strategizing with the Lord to put all the pieces together to make this a reality. And I believe that you all have started something very, very special that God is going to honor. But like I say, we'll get into more about this tomorrow. But how did you, Leslie Hanks, you're a lifetime activist. I mean, you've been at this for years and years like Joe. What drives you to fight this fight that can be so fatiguing and really so thankless on a number of levels, on a daily basis?
I have been at it a long time, but not as long as Joe. She's been at it 30-some. I've been at it about 25. And
not far behind.
Not far behind, but God bless her. I mean, she is out in the cold, and I have to admit I've been a lot more oriented into the Capitol and more in office work and writing and that kind of thing. It does, and it's a real blessing for me to join Joe on the front lines when I'm able to do so. I do work a job, so I'm not able to be there every day like she is, but when I do go, it's always so educational and so rewarding when there is a baby saved and I get to be there, and that's not all that often, but praise God, I've gotten to know a number of the gals that she's rescued their babies and watched them come back and say, "Thank you for being there," not to me necessarily, but just thank you, someone was there that day. But you know, you talked about the coercion factor. Even if it's not a pedophile or a family member that's trying to just insist that this poor girl gets aborted, you saw it. You saw those, they have what we call the death squads. They wear the little vests, and it's a big game. I mean, somebody pulls
in.
The security guards.
That ripped out the pro-life information that
right.
was handed to the women.
Well, actually, those two are the security guards, but I'm talking about the death squads that come to the car.
Yes.
And they have this subtle game that they play, subtle or not so subtle, but, their role is to truly distract the girl from anything we're telling them that's truth and, you know, worthy. Your baby is infinitely valuable. Your baby wants to give you a hug. Your baby wants to go fishing. And, you know, we're trying in that 30-second or one-minute opportunity that there is to get her to think twice about what she is about to do. Don't kill your baby, Mom. They're there saying, they're crazy. Don't listen to them. You know, it's just a big game to them. And, of course, but the goal is to get their $350 to $500 or whatever that ultimate, you know, if they do sell the baby body parts, what the final bottom line dollar amount is. But that, to me, is a coercion. It's a different kind of coercion, but it's all about money.
Well, Lila Rose has done some stings on Planned Parenthood, and the last one was a young woman that went in for a pregnancy test. They said she was 7 weeks pregnant, and they told her the baby has no head, no hands, no feet. It's just a blob of tissue. Now, that was a flat-out lie. That's coercion. That's a way to get a girl to kill her child and think nothing of it because, oh, it's not a baby yet. That's a form of coercion, and it's also deceit.
Joe Scott and Leslie Hanks with me, Greg Jackson sitting for Bob Enyart. What do you say to a woman who might be listening to the show even right now, who may be considering having an abortion right now? What would be some of the things that you would tell that person?
I would say, Mom, don't do this. It's the worst decision you can make. First of all, before God, killing your child is not a choice. It's a crime against God, and it's a crime against your child. Your baby's blood will cry out from the ground against you before an almighty and righteous God. You don't want to have to face that in the future. And that's the reality of what you're doing. It's not just this procedure that you're having and removing a tumor of some kind. This child is known and loved by God, and you can't just throw him away. He has a soul, Mom. And we have any kind of help you need, any help at all, if you need housing, if you need education, if you need a job, a place to stay.
Adoption services,
yep. Anything, Mom. But the worst thing you can do is put yourself at risk for cancer in the future. This is what we say to a lot of the girls, Mom. When you're 20s, you're at the abortion clinic. When you're 30s, you're at the fertility clinic. And in your 40s, you're at the cancer clinic. Don't start down this road. There's no turning back. If you make this kind of a decision for your life, you are looking at peril at best.
And abortion, as you just mentioned, is the leading indicator or cause of breast cancer. Is it not the ABC link? Because you're the one, you just said in your 40s, you're going to the cancer clinic.
It's the most avoidable risk factor for breast cancer, abortion is. We have a truth truck.
Right.
In Colorado. Colorado Right to Life has a truth truck. Every year we go to the Race for the Cure, and we've talked about this on Bob's show before, but that's what our banner says. Breast cancer's most avoidable risk factor, colon, abortion. And it incenses the women that go to the Race for the Cure because they want to shake their fists and say, we haven't had an abortion. But Joe made a really interesting observation over the years. Breast cancer used to be a grandma's disease, and now we see girls in their, obviously, in their early 40s, in their 30s,
sure.
And sometimes now even in their late 20s.
And largely so, driven by abortion.
About a 40% increase in breast cancer rate in your future if you choose abortion of your first pregnancy.
Let's talk about that because this is important. A lot of women will say it's a zygote, right? Or they'll say you're not killing an actual baby.
Greg, if it's
when
not
are
a baby,
most of these? I understand that, but when are most of these abortions taking place? Certainly, you don't even know you're pregnant until
6 weeks,
and then by the time you get the abortion scheduled, maybe it's at 8 weeks or 10 weeks. At 8 or 10 weeks, first of all, when are most of abortions taking place? Because I think most people are. You know, they kind of slough it off and say, oh, yeah, well, it's just a couple cell. You're not actually – not that that would be right, but it's not just a couple of cells, is it? Because at 8 to 10 weeks, baby is sucking their thumb, full heartbeat, brain waves, feel pain, correct?
That's right. And 8 weeks is probably the most I hear out there, but I just met with a young woman that we talked out of getting an abortion yesterday for lunch, and she was 17 weeks. 17 weeks she was going to kill her baby. So I would say between 8 and 18 weeks. 8 weeks and 18 weeks. Planned Parenthood goes to 17.5 weeks now.
17.5, but, I mean, there have been documented cases where they perform them after 17 and a half weeks, correct?
They just send them to a different facility.
They send them to a different facility where late-term abortions are performed, which, by the way, for any of you who may think that there's a ban on partial birth abortion or third trimester abortions, that's really false, isn't it?
It is, and we have a late-term abortionist in Boulder by the name of Warren Hearn. A lot of people that listen to Bob are aware of his practice, and he acts like he's some huge humanitarian, compassionate doctor, but he basically probably destroys disabled babies. And they like to play it up about the women that, you know, her life's in danger, but I'm guessing, and I think Joe probably knows better than I do, but he probably just kills a lot of disabled babies.
Well, he's in good company, because the President of the United States, who's illegally occupying the White House right now, thinks it voted, actually, as an Illinois legislator, against a ban on killing babies that were born after botched abortion attempts, living, breathing babies on the table.
Yep.
So what does that tell you?
You know, I wrote a quick email to Jill Stanek last week because of the baby that was...
Jill Stanek, pro-life activist,
right,
with
blogger,
Christ Hospital,
right,
who used to rock babies to death until she realized that you shouldn't do that, which is another question that I have, but is now a pro-life activist.
Right. And anyway, she was responsible for the legislation that supposedly you can no longer let the baby just die if it survives the abortion. So the baby in Italy this week... or last
right.
week, that survived 2 days, and he only had left palate was his disability, but they let that baby lay there and die, you know, 2 days. It could have been saved. It could have had surgery and been fine, a productive, lovely human being, a darling child that somebody would have loved, a family that wanted to adopt a baby. But anyway, that baby was allowed to die, and I wrote her and said, I wonder if Italy just picked up on Obama's, you know, leadership of that issue, and just, you know, they don't care because they think he's such a grandiose guy and he doesn't care. And she wrote back and said she really didn't know, but she said it's so rampant, this business of that type of abortion that baby had, where they induce labor early, worldwide. She said it's such an epidemic. So you said 3,000 babies a day are slaughtered by abortionists.
Minimum. I think it's closer to 4,000.
I think it's way closer to 4,000.
And then if you include chemical abortions, it could even be much, much higher.
Absolutely.
But we do know this. We know that 50, at the low end, 50 million babies have been killed in their mother's wombs since 1973, correct? And which, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 a day. And we do know that God will never bless a nation. I read from Psalm 106 to start the program. But how can we ever expect God to bless a nation who allows the slaughter of, you know, this silent genocide to take place? So my question is to you, how much of a responsibility do Christians bear in this? Because a lot of Christian leaders and, you know, parachurch leaders will point the finger at the abortionist, but haven't Christians kind of, and Christian leaders, been partially to blame or largely to blame for, number one, I don't remember the last time I heard a sermon at my congregation, the one I just left in Los Angeles, preached on the sanctity of life or abortion or how people, Christians can get involved to stop it. So I'm wondering, what's your perspective on that? It'll be a good lead into the next show when we talk about personhood and the kind of the political process. But aren't Christians largely to blame for this silent genocide?
A couple of thoughts, and then I'll let Joe chip in. We have a good friend, Flip Benham, Reverend Flip Benham, and he's been saying for the longest time that, you know, when the church decides abortion's going to stop, it'll stop. And then I think of there's a great brochure, Sing a Little Louder, that was about a story from Hitler's Germany where the church is there, same thing, kind of sat out the issue. And, you know, they'd hear the railroad cars going by.
Jews
and they
going by to get slaughtered.
Sing their hymns a little louder and just pretend like it wasn't really happening. So I think the situation today is pretty similar.
I think that the church is largely responsible for it because not only have they been silent on the issue, they have chastised the sidewalk counselors as not loving, as evil people, that we shouldn't be yelling at those women when there's traffic and you got to be up on a ladder and you got to be 100 feet away from them. I don't know what they want us to do, just whisper to them. You can't tell them that it's wrong. This whole epidemic in the church that you can't judge has really made the church ineffective, not just from the pulpit, but the people themselves. They really believe that you can't make a judgment and call people accountable to that judgment based on Scripture. They believe that. And it has not only silenced the church, but it has hindered the movement to save babies. Way back in the 1980, personhood was still the issue. And then we had organizations like Christian Coalition come on the job and a few other big Christian organizations who immediately went with politicians and immediately
lawyers
and politicians changed the issue.
Don't mention God.
To don't mention God, and it's let's regulate. And that's when the sidewalk counselors pulled away from all the organizations, and we were left there on the streets on our own for all these years, just waiting for the church to catch up, waiting for people to get it. You can't regulate murder. I can't say it's okay to murder you on Mondays.
Or countenance it in any way.
No, I can't say, okay, we can murder Greg on Monday, but not on Tuesday, and oh, maybe on Saturday. You know, you can't do that. It's murder. It's wrong every single day of the week, no matter how old you are, how big or short you are, how sick you are. It's murder. God loves every person.
So in the last remaining minutes of the show, and I want to tease tomorrow's show because we're going to be talking about personhood a little bit. Why is it so important that Christian pastors, especially who might be listening to this show right now, and I know obviously Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church talks quite a bit about these issues, but in the last 30 seconds, why is it important that pastors get involved in this issue right now?
Well, they need to be preaching the sanctity of life more than one time a year on the Sanctity of Life Sunday. And they need to realize that it's
Good
the
point.
Lives of their precious little girls in their congregation that are being devastated, decimated every day of the week by choosing abortion, by setting themselves up for health failures down the road, and emotional devastation that stays with them for a lifetime.
And right now, if they get involved, they can end abortion forever in Colorado, forever.
And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow on the show here at Bob Enyart Live. We're going to be talking about the personhood amendment. It's on the ballot. You're going to get a chance to vote on it. I think there's a lot of good things in store that are going to help this thing along. We're going to talk about it tomorrow and how you can get involved and see this become a reality, because as I said at the top of the show, if this becomes a reality here in Colorado, I think it's going to start a tsunami across the country. And that's when God starts blessing this nation, when we start standing up for the most susceptible among us. KGov.com. Call in your donations. Keep Bob Enyart on the air. 800-8-ENYART. Get a free copy of my book, Conservative Comebacks to Liberalize. Be well, and remember, Maranatha.